big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today we're going to talk about how you can lead without actually being in charge. And I'll use the context of, have you ever been included in one of those all hands meeting or all hands type of events where everyone is required to be a part of it, like the children's ministry, the family ministry, the student minister, the adult ministers? They all have to participate in a big event. It could be like an Easter type of an event or a Christmas type of an event or a fall kickoff event. It could be something like that where everyone is required to participate. Well, if you've been a part of those, you've realized that sometimes there's not a real main leader there. There's not a real person driving it. There's just a bunch of leaders trying to figure out who's leading, and it gets really convoluted and confusing. Well, today Seth Muse is joining me, and we're talking about self-awareness, and we're talking about how you can be a leader in the midst of that kind of chaotic situation or in those situations where you can actually drive things and be proactive so that you can get on top of things and really instigate things to where things get done and you can really lead change rather than just wait and see what happens. So I'm really excited that Seth joined me today. So without any further ado, let's get in the conversation right now with Seth Muse. All right, with me right now is Seth Muse. Seth, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just talking a little bit before we actually started hitting the record button, your weather environment is quite different than my weather environment as we speak here. You're in short sleeves, I'm in long sleeves, and I have a blanket on right now. So how is weather out there in Texas?
Well, right now it's beautiful. Okay. So it's right under 80 degrees, but it's probably going to hit 80 and stay above that for the next few weeks until it finally becomes full-blown melt your face off summer for the next 8 months.
Yeah. See, and that's we all experience a little bit of summer. Some have it hotter than others. Is yours is a dry heat? Is that what it is? Or is it?
Yeah. In DFW where I'm at, it's kind of coming off of West Texas wind up the plains. So, we get rain and hail and all kinds of stuff, really hail a lot through here. But the majority of it is dry wind coming through. So when it gets warm, it's dry. It's a dry heat.
Yeah.
I'm actually from East Texas where it's the exact opposite, more like where you are. It's like humid. Everything is sticky and muggy all the time. It's miserable.
Yeah.
So this to me is like, it's hot. I don't like it, but it's much more tolerable.
Yeah.
But I like being inside anyway.
Yeah.
No matter what. I'm not an outdoorsy guy.
Yeah, being inside is definitely good. I'm used to the humidity. Well, I don't know if you can ever get used to the humidity, but I one time led a trip out there in down towards Eagle Pass, Texas, years and years ago, and it was it was a dry heat, and I was like, hey, this isn't as bad as the crazy humidity that we deal with in Northern Virginia. So,
yeah, it has beautiful days, and then it has days where you're just like, man, God is angry with us about something that we have done. He is burning us off the planet.
Yes, see, that is interesting. So, okay, well, before we get into the conversation here about what we want to talk about, I'm noticing your shirt, and I want to just get your quick thought here. Star Wars, the last episode coming up. Are you excited about episode 9 coming up?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not naive enough to say that those last movies were the best or anything like that, but I'm going to go see it. If it's got Star Wars on it, I'm going to see it. I'm going to pay money for it. I'm going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see it for what it is and love the universe for what it is.
Yeah.
But I definitely have opinions on, you know, some of the things. I particularly liked what they did in Last Jedi with Luke. Yeah. I did not care for the extra scenes that didn't go anywhere and everybody failed.
Yeah.
I felt like the extremely slow space chase was, oh man, I don't even know how to describe that. I probably can't describe it using words that were nice.
Yeah.
So I'll just say it was not the best, but still I love Star Wars and I love that whole universe. So yeah, I'm going to go see it. I'm going to see it 4 or 5 times in the theater and own it and watch it. I'm actually watching through the movies again from one to the most recent right now. And man, I just finished 1 and 2. And yeah, that's a struggle.
The only thing about episode one that I will ever really watch and rewatch is the lightsaber battle at the very end.
Oh yeah.
I think that's one of the best ones. That's my personal opinion. I think that's one of the best ones of all the lightsaber duels.
It's great.
But in regards to episode eight, I just always thought they could have ended it probably like 20 minutes, 30 minutes sooner than they actually ended. And you know, it still would have been good, but you know, it is Star Wars and I grew up with it. So I'm going to keep on watching.
Yeah. I don't know what their fixation is on. Everybody just has this one blue lightsaber. Yeah. Like Luke has a green lightsaber, man. It's like, what happened to that thing? And I think he took it apart or something. I don't know. But, he shows up at the end with that blue lightsaber. Like, that's wrong. Something's wrong. That's not his. And then Rey's got that one and Luke had that one. That was Anakin's. I'm like, good Lord. When it blew up at the end of Last Jedi, I was like, finally, put that thing out of its misery.
Get it out. That is
the most hand-me-down lightsaber of all time.
Yes.
You're not even supposed to do that. Like, as a Jedi, you're supposed to make your own lightsaber. That's part of the training.
Yeah. Well, I
could rant on that for a while.
Yeah, we could probably do a whole podcast on that on this. So it'd be good. But let's talk about something different here. And again, this is the second time I've had you on recently where we've not talked about church communications of sorts. But so this is what I really like about you. You're a well-rounded leader there, Seth Muse.
So, thank you.
So I want to talk about self-awareness and leading when you're not in charge. So talk to me about this. This is something you're really passionate about. What has brought this about in your ministry?
Yeah, and I think we have to make a nod to Clay Scroggins' book, Leading When You're Not in Charge.
Yeah.
And I haven't read that. I've actually heard him talk about it with Kerry Newhoff and like several other podcasts at length. So I have a little bit of a grasp of what he's talking about in there. So from what I heard there, just kind of sparked the interest of, okay, am I leading? And I'm always like looking for how do I lead up, you know, because one of the things the premise of that book is that everyone actually has a boss. Mm-hmm. And that thought, like no one's actually ever in charge. And that thought kind of shook me. I was like, that's so true. Because we always wait around to go, okay, when I've got this degree, then I'll be able to make decisions. Or when I'm married, then they'll respect me and listen to me. Mm-hmm. Or when I have kids, then I can be whatever position and it'll be an elder or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, or I'll reach a certain age. You know, there's always this thing, when I get there, then I'll be able to lead like I want to lead without resistance. And that is a myth.
Yep.
No matter what stage of life you're in, you're going to have people you have to answer to. You're going to have to lead up. You're going to have to work with others. And I kind of realized, like, I just stopped pursuing the idea that I would just one day be this all-powerful Darth Vader type leader. And because that's eventually what you'd be if you really had that power.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's kind of what sparked it. And then just taking some of those principles, looking at my team and kind of what we were going through, we've had some really good discussions over the last few months where our team personnel really hasn't changed. Personnel around our church has changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. How we do things has changed. We're always trying to get better at Hope. And, you know, I lead the communications team here, but there's five of us counting me. And we started realizing there was just some discrepancies in how we did things that was really making our life miserable. And so we started going, all right, what's happening that's really messed up that we need to address? And that's kind of what sparked the whole thing. When you were like, hey, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, let's talk about this because this is very fresh on our mind.
Yeah. Well, I think having that kind of self-awareness, having that ability to sit back and reflect on that is really important because, again, like you said, whether you're leading up and you have a boss that you have to report to or you're also leading other people, having that self-awareness is really important. So how does that play out in your context there in some situations that you've been going to be able to step back there and how has that helped?
Yeah. One of the things recently we're a communication team we have a process, we have a request form, and people ask, departments will ask us for stuff, and then we get it due to them by a certain date, and we clarify what they ask for, but they drive a lot of that, and then they're like, tell us what you want, we'll make it, and then we try to lead a little bit in that way, but we really feel like as a communications team, we need to lead a little bit more in the sense of like, what do you really need? Instead of you just ask for it, we give it to you. Sometimes they ask for things now. We're like, I don't think you really need that. So we wanted to lead that way.
Yeah.
You know, but we really didn't know how. Mm-hmm. And so as we've been trying to find ways to lead, we realized that one of the places where we really, really have to step in and lead is when we have an event like a men's conference or a women's conference here at our church. It's big. And it's everybody's kind of an all hands on deck event.
Yeah.
So we share this event. So then you're like, well, as a communications team, if everyone's owning parts of this event, then whose job is it to request signage? Mm-hmm. And whose job is it to request graphics? And whose job is it? Because there's no really one person in charge.
Right.
So that person can't, you can't go to them and say, make this stuff happen. And so for us, we started realizing that we're waiting way too late. Nobody gets us anything. And we're frustrated. We get all these last minute requests because, let's be honest, as pastors, we're not thinking about signs,
right,
and graphics and social media and marketing. And you know, do we put an ad out? Do we post on social? They don't care about that.
Yeah.
You know, I was a youth pastor not long ago and loved communications and social media, and I didn't care about it. You know, it's like I realized that this is where we step in and actually go, okay, here's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even wait for them to turn in requests. We start creating the plan. And it was when we kind of realized that we were like, wow, for 4 years or five or however long they've been working here, that's the way we've been doing these events. And they hate them.
Yeah.
They hate these events. And it's because we're trying to make everyone do things in our process, and our process is what actually doesn't work for them. And so it was a self-aware kind of like aha moment where we're going, oh my gosh, we're the ones that have to look and see what can we do different. And that was a very painful couple of conversations that we really had to have and look honestly at ourselves and go, okay, we got to change.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's really key that, again, because we've all been a part of this. If you're in ministry, you've all been a part of those, for instance, those all hands on deck things. And then you're waiting for someone to take charge and tell you, this is what you got to do. This is what has to be done. But a lot of times it doesn't work out that way. So I like what you're talking about is how you sit back and say, okay, we can lead here. We can start running with some things. And rather than being told what to do, you guys are being proactive. And that's a really kind of a good thing. You're being proactive actually by being reflective and self-aware of how things have worked before so that you can be leading differently. And I think that that's a really good strategy to start taking. Again, you reflect on yourself and then you start leading. And I think that's a good thing when you start leading and where people have to rein you in more than they have to push you to do what needs to be done.
Yeah. And what we're realizing too is that now that we've kind of broken the rhythm there and seen the problem and started to actually see some fixes and it's gone really well. Mm-hmm. You know, we've looked at things and said, how do we realize that? We waited for there to be an unbearable problem.
Yeah.
Before we realized that we could look at ourselves. So it's like in the future going forward now, we're looking at things going, is this an issue? If it is, our first question is it something that we can do different to make it not an issue? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to wait till there's an unbearable problem and we're sideways with a couple of departments before I start to go, you know, maybe it's us. You know, I want to get that out of the way first.
Yep.
Before we ever go back to a department and go, you got to do something different.
Yeah.
Because then we seem like the bad guy, you know, and then we're the ones coming in and telling everybody how to do their jobs. Nobody loves that.
Right.
So, you know, and it feels like we're imposing upon them. Mm-hmm. And we realize that we have to make space to be able to sit back and assess what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And if we don't make space for that, some people call it white space. Some people call it, you know, breathing room, you know, whatever you want to call it. But if we don't systematically put into our process this question of, is it us when there's an issue?
Yeah.
Then we can't ever we may go and limp along for 4 or 5 years and have the same issue and not know why.
Yeah. Well, and then I think too, you know, as I think about just being self-aware, you may have that issue, there's so much, I mean, in everything that you do, whether it's an event or whether you're giving it a message and you're not self-aware of how your message is going and being perceived, mm-hmm. like you can't make the necessary changes unless you sit back and reflect. And that's such an important aspect. And yeah. then again, you lead out of that. It changes the game. And so how has that impacted your whole church as a whole when you guys have said, okay, this is, we've reflected on this, we're running with things. Has it sped up the process on things? Have things accomplished a little bit differently? How has that helped your church?
Yeah, we just finished. Here's what, two major things just happened that, you know, as a direct result of this. We had a women's conference mm-hmm. recently. We sold out for the first time ever 2 weeks in advance before we ever ran the price increase.
Wow.
That's never happened.
That's awesome.
We sold out at 1,100 women and then decided we'd stream it into a private Facebook group and got 200 or 300 more.
Wow.
And then they streamed throughout the night. We even hosted it. It was a whole new thing for us. We'd never done anything like that. We'd streamed our services, you know, live on our sites, but we never had like, we'll stream for a bit, we break, and then a host comes on live and Facebook is like interviewing the speakers and we're doing extra stuff. And, you know, we've never done anything like that.
Wow.
So we did some of that, and it was, the reason we did all that is because we were done and ready as a department for Brave, our conference, several weeks in advance because we didn't wait for everybody to tell us what we needed to have to get our job done.
Right.
So then when it came down to it, in the last week, we sold out and realized like 2 weeks, a week before when we sold out, we were like, what if we streamed it? Then we got permission from, I had to wait and get permission from all the speakers, mm-hmm. but that gave us time to do that. And then we had a week to really put together a plan for how we're going to stream it. And it gave us time to do that. And so we had an incredible experience because we didn't wait for someone to tell us what to do. And I think as leaders, a lot of times we let the responsibility of how well we do our job fall on our boss and mm-hmm. say, he or she's not leading me well, so I can't do X.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely garbage.
Yep.
You can do things and they can tell you wrong and or right and be happy with it. But if I'm a leader and I got somebody in my team that just runs off and does something, I'm much happier with them and it's much better to have to go, okay, hold on, what you did, I love where your heart's at, but let's pull back just a second and think about this and guide that mm-hmm. rather than going, hey, could you do something today? You know, like that's a much better deal. And so the women's conference sold out. And then we're done with Easter.
Yeah.
The only thing I got left is a Facebook ad.
Yeah. When you told me you were done with Easter, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I was like, that is awesome.
No, we're done. We got the graphics done. We got messaging done. Let me do a caveat. We're doing a newspaper that we're handing out and we're putting the final touches on the edits of that today.
Yeah.
And then I have to do a Facebook ad that starts Monday, which we're ready to go. You know, I just need to activate it.
Yeah.
So that's really all we have left for Easter other than what happens in the service. But our communication team is done. It's because of these conversations we had months ago where we said, let's identify these events where we don't need process. We need to go.
Yeah.
And so we're like, is this a process event, a regular event, or is this a go event?
Yeah.
And so we identified Easter, our women's conference, these are go events. So let's go. And so, and I'll tell you too, what we kind of missed is how did we get that self-awareness to do that in the first place? I sought a lot of feedback before I even went to my team and said, here's what I think we should do. Like I went to my boss and I said, here's how I'm feeling. I went to another leader. I have a coach that I go to. I went to him that very day mm-hmm. and was like, I just happened to have a meeting with him scheduled already and was like, here's what I'm dealing with at work. What do you think? And he helped me think through like, well, is it possible? So I had a lot of people speaking into my life that I was willing to listen to that helped me be self-aware to know maybe there's something in us that we're not doing that we need to do that can change this whole thing. And I think a lot of leaders don't have that in their life. Because honestly, I think we're waiting, especially if you're a young leader, you're waiting for an older leader to come to you and say, I hereby deem you my apprentice and, you know, knight you a little bit and ask you to follow them like Jesus did, you know, come follow me. They don't do that. You have to go find them.
Yeah. Now, Seth, I love this because I'm even thinking now, like, again, for instance, in years past, in our experience, we've done a fall fun fest and we've done it and it's been all hands on deck thing. And then you have the campus pastor who's running it and driving it. And all of us here, we're, you know, student ministers and stuff. We're just sitting there like, okay, this is something we have to do. But instead of thinking about something we have to do, thought in my mind is like, okay, so what can I do with students that can drive this thing? What can I contribute to the cause? Yeah. Rather than saying this is something I have to do, think this is something we're a part of, we get to be a part of, they get to make an impact. How can I help drive this as well? Because the more you're sold in, you're all in on this, the more your whole ministry is going to be in on it, and then the excitement that's going to build and things are going to get done. So like, I love the simple fact that you're just driving, running with it and saying, okay, let's go and be proactive here. And the impact that it makes, again, in your context, it helps you get the better ticket, more tickets. It helps you get done with Easter. Yeah. Well, I mean, Easter is one of the most stressful times of the year. And you guys are sitting back being like, hey, we're okay here, you know?
Yeah, my project director today, she was like, I don't have a ton going on today, so I'm going to do this other project. I was like, great.
Yeah,
like we have time for extra projects right now. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's a place that a lot of people want to be. Now the pastors are a little bit more scrambly because they're working right up to the moment, especially you know, people that are doing the services and whatever, worship team, all that. And we're a large church with a lot of moving parts. So if you're a smaller church, you know, you may have a little less going on, or you know, you may have more hats that you're wearing, and you're crazy busy. So who knows? But in our context, that you know, that makes a difference for us, and we know that when we get to some of these events, it is all hands on deck, and we start to own it because, well, at the end of the day, we're all on the same team.
Yeah,
You know, and this is a team effort, and you don't want to have one member of your team that kind of goes, "I really hate playing this game with you guys."
Yeah,
you know, if you have one guy on a basketball court of your team out of the five who is like, dude, I'm not doing anything until you come and screen for me.
Yeah.
Like, man, that is not how this game works.
That's right.
You got to move off the ball as well as you do with the ball. So anyway,
this really does
make a difference.
Yeah, this has been awesome because I think this is a big encouragement and you got some real life examples here. So as we kind of wrap up here, what any other final thoughts or suggestions that's worked for you guys in this that can help other people?
Yeah, I would say just honestly to summarize, like you have to seek feedback and you have to be okay with taking feedback. Mm-hmm. You need people speaking into your life, giving you perspective because you don't have it all. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest part to being self-aware. And then the second thing is that you have to always be looking at what you're doing and asking, can this be better? And especially if you've got something where you're like, I really hate this part of my job.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because you're lazy or because you don't maybe aren't in the right job? It could be one of those things, but you have to really be honest and say, is this because I honestly just haven't thought about how to solve that problem yet?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a solution? I just haven't stopped what I'm doing. And we feel like we can't ever stop. We're always head down working. But the people that do that, I think even Jesus had an illustration about the difference between the mosquito and or the gnat and the eagle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the or dragonfly, I can't remember. But it's like he beats his wings a million times. Hummingbird, it's a hummingbird. That's what it is. And the hummingbird beats his wings a thousand times and doesn't go very far. But the eagle stretches his wings out and does nothing, and soars. And you know, it's like when we don't stop and soar a little bit, you don't see everything that's going on. You don't see everything that's happening around you, and you can't really be self-aware.
Right.
You end up just handling whatever fire pops up in front of you. And I think a lot of church leaders are in that mode where we're just handling whatever explodes today.
And, that's right.
You know, and that's not fun. Nobody enjoys that kind of life, no matter what job you're in.
Right.
You don't like just being on constant fire drill mode.
Yep.
And if you want that ability to kind of make things better, you have to actually stop, let some things fall apart if you have to, and take the time to really look at what you're doing and say, is there a solution here? I can solve it.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome. This is encouraging. I can't wait for our next all hands event coming up, because now I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna start driving a few things. And again, I'm going to let them rein me in rather than them pushing me to say, come on, Tom, you can do this. You guys can get the people involved. You know, you can do this. Yeah. It would be real driving and see how it impacts the whole church as a whole. So I think
So as the leader goes, so the whole team goes. I mean, you're the barometer of really how your team behaves. And that's one thing I'm learning big time, is that I'm not typically a go get them, there we go kind of guy. Yeah. I'm very happy to be melancholy and chill in my office. And I'm learning that the more if I do that a lot, that actually brings the temperature of my team down and makes everybody kind of sad to be at work, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be fun and games, dude, but I can come out and talk and hang out.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just hard for me.
Yep. No, that's good. Well, it's self-awareness right there.
So, yeah, exactly.
Seth, well, as always, it's great having you on. I'm sure people are going to want to ask you some questions or even check out some things on your blog and your podcast. So how can people connect with you here?
Yeah, I'd love for you to check out my podcast, The Seminary of Hard Knocks. It's about church communications, but it's really leadership and communications as well. But I have a Facebook group with the same name, Seminary of Hard Knocks. And that's a great place to connect. I've started interviewing people in that group that are just in the group. So I did one today, a lot of fun. But that's probably the best place, or Instagram at Seth Muse.
Yeah. Well, it's disappointing that you didn't say Twitter too. I mean, just Twitter is a great place.
I'm never on Twitter.
You know, you're the second person today who told me I'm never on Twitter. And that's just so discouraging.
If you see me tweet, it's because somebody tweeted at me.
Yep.
Or I just had this random thought and I felt like the world needed to know it. And I just had I don't want to make a graphic for this. I'm just going to put it on Twitter. Maybe for me to go back and look at later.
That's awesome.
That's it.
Well, that's great. Well, definitely look up Seth. Definitely follow his podcast. Get on his Facebook group. It's all great stuff. I'm on all those. So I'm not physically on those, but I follow along with those. So it's fantastic. So, all right, Seth. Well, as always, it's great having you on. So thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thanks, Tom. I appreciate it, man.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Seth, and I love having Seth on. He's a great guy to have as a conversation starter. And honestly, you know, the last few times that I've talked to him, they haven't been church communications related. Now, in the context, yes, there's a church communications context, but it's more about leadership. And I love his inputs on leadership, because no matter what ministry you work in, whether it's student, children's, online, church communications, social media, head pastor or not, or janitor, you all can take leadership roles and use leadership opportunities to grow. And this is a perfect example of how you can drive change and lead without being the main leader. And I love the example that Seth had, and I've seen it in my own context as well, and I'm sure you've seen it in yours. So I would love to hear your thoughts on our conversation. What stood out to you? What encouraged you? What have been your experiences with this? And how have you led without being the leader? I'd love to hear your thoughts. So definitely get on Twitter, share with me your thoughts. I'm at TA Pounder. And I would love to carry this conversation online, so we can do that. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to this, or you can go to ymsidekick.com and get the podcast, the blog, the vlogs, with a Twitter ebook, and information about the Digital Bootcamp, a great Facebook group where you can go and learn digital tools to help expand your reach. No matter what ministry you're serving in, this helps them reach children's ministry, student ministry, family, a senior pastor, campus pastors, whatever ministry you serve in. We're talking about digital tools that can help you expand your reach. So you can get all that at ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.